Good morning or afternoon or whatever the time of day it is for you. My name is Jamie Comer and thank you for listening to my first and probably only podcast ever made. I am so excited about this podcast, but before we get into it, I just want to give you a little bit of background about me. As I mentioned before, my name is Jamie Comer and I am from the beautiful state of Alaska. I enjoy the outdoors, traveling, reading, and so many more things. I also have a bachelor's degree in early childhood special education and I'm currently a substitute teacher in my hometown school district. So the reason I am doing this podcast is for a course that I'm taking that focuses on how to implement mindfulness into my future classroom. Not only that, but I also want there to be a resource out there for other educators on how they too can incorporate mindfulness for themselves and their students. So let's sit back, relax, and enjoy. Almost a year ago, I remember sitting at my desk in South Korea, prepping my materials for my next class, and all of a sudden, I got this weird, sharp pain in my chest, a weird pain in my side, and with these weird pains, I was kind of freaking out a little bit. Now, I am young, healthy, and still thriving in my life, and my mind immediately went to thinking, oh my gosh, I'm having a heart attack. But after taking a few deep breaths and talking to one of my coworkers what was going on, she said, Jamie, you just had a panic attack. I remember being so confused and thinking, a panic attack? Me? I've had panic attacks before in the past, and they were nothing like this. But after talking more about it with my coworker, I came to find out that it really was a panic attack, and there were so many reasons why I was feeling these pains. For instance, it was the year 2020, and we all know that was the year of the start of a pandemic, one that has altered our lives, and it definitely altered mine. For instance, I had to cancel all of my travel plans to travel around the Asian continent after my contract had ended teaching in South Korea, which was a huge blow to my need and love for traveling. It was also a fairly hot and humid summer that year in Korea. I had a presentation for my classroom that I was super nervous about, and I was also getting ready to go home and at the end of my contract. With that, I was figuring out what I need to pack, what I need to mail back home. And I was also thinking about the future teacher who was going to replace me and how I would train him or her. Basically, I had a lot going on in my mind, and that was the problem. I was stressing too much about the future and not dealing with it in a healthy manner as I thought I was. I wasn't being present with myself and where I need to be. I wasn't being mindful of myself. Now, the question that we are asking ourselves, what is mindfulness? Well, when I first started taking the Connection and Calming course, I thought mindfulness was all about meditating and clearing all of your thoughts. That, however, is not the case. Mindfulness is being aware of what is happening now in the moment, not what has happened in the past or what may or may not happen in the future. It is about being alive and knowing that you are alive. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually tasted and enjoyed food? Where you didn't take a picture to post on Instagram thinking about all the likes you'll receive? Or where you weren't distracted about other things, but actually focused on that amazing meal or snack that was happening at that moment. Trust me, I couldn't remember the last time that happened to me when I ate food. But it makes you think, right? Being mindful and having that awareness helps us notice the small experiences that are happening around us. When we put this into practice, our lives can be a little bit brighter and a little bit fresher. Mindfulness is where we practice stopping and noticing, where we can take a step back from the busyness that goes on in our life and be present with what is going on at the present moment. As I mentioned before, I thought mindfulness was all about meditation where we clear our thoughts, which I found out is not true after taking this course. But I also didn't realize what else mindfulness is not. Mindfulness is not breathing exercises or yoga, though those are tools that can help us be mindful. It is not religious or spiritual, emptying your mind or chilling out. In fact, the purpose of mindfulness isn't to relax, but to notice more about what is happening in our minds and bodies, to notice if we are in discomfort, anger, stress, happiness, joy, or at ease. It is about freedom thinking and working with your thoughts more skillfully. So why do we as educators need mindfulness for us and our students? According to research, the benefits of mindfulness are priceless. It decreases stress and anxiety, improves attention spans, strengthens compassion, and improves overall general health. I also think with how much has changed over the past year and a half with the pandemic, it is important to have a tool to help you process your emotions, especially when rules in the schools may change or may be even canceled. Having mindfulness in the workplace can help you be flexible, improve your job performance, reduce work-related stress, and decrease burnout. Your mental health shouldn't be a lesser priority when it comes to working with parents, coworkers, and your students. Mindfulness is also beneficial for our students. By having them practice mindfulness, it improves their academic success because they will have learned how to regulate their emotions by using this practice. It is also used as a healthy coping mechanism and can also help them learn how to be resilient in their lives. Now that we know the benefits of mindfulness, how can we incorporate it into our lives and into our classrooms? Before I give my two cents, I want to ask someone who is such an amazing resource in my hometown's elementary school. Her name is Gianna Giusti, and she is a bubbly, bright, and fun person, and she is also an elementary school counselor. And she's here with me today to talk more about mindfulness in the classroom. Okay, so I'm here with Gianna Giusti, who is a school counselor at Herman Hutchins Elementary School. And I kind of wanted to ask her a few things about how teachers and counselors can unify together and how to incorporate mindfulness, not only to themselves personally, but also how to incorporate mindfulness in their classrooms. So, Gianna, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into the questions here.
Oh, sure. So, I actually started out as a classroom teacher. And I took some school counseling classes just because I wanted to enhance my my teaching strategies in the classroom, because I wanted to enforce more empathy, more working with connections with families. And then I started this program at the University of Fairbanks, and I started taking more classes. And then the next thing you know, I have another master's degree and a new career. So it kind of fell into place. And, you know, I've been a school counselor now for 7 years already, and it's where I need to be.
That's awesome.
It's a passion.
Yes.
Teaching has always been a passion, but now I get to teach feelings. And I don't have to teach math anymore.
That's always a plus.
Right?
For me,
definitely.
Plus. Yeah.
So that's a little bit about me. And I really feel that a school counselor, pre-K through high school, is important. I remember I had a principal who was new, who's a good friend of mine, knew a couple years ago, and she's moved on to a different position now. But she said, you know, I never knew that the elementary school needed a school counselor. And then within a week, she's like, oh, I get it. I think we forget that our little kids have so much on their plate.
And it's funny that you mentioned that. Sorry to interrupt. But like,
that's okay.
I don't remember having a school counselor when I was attending elementary school at all. Like, we just never did. I don't remember that at all. It wasn't until like junior high that was introduced to me. And then in high school, it was introduced as well, but never elementary school. So that's very interesting that you brought that up, because I don't remember a school counselor at all.
And one of the biggest movements now through our national organization is you don't say guidance counselor anymore.
Yes.
It's school counselor, because a guidance counselor is, you know, the one who guides you to what you do after high school. But our training is so much more than that. We are mental health specialists within the school. And the counselor word is confusing as well, because a lot of times people think that we're giving therapy in the school. We're not a therapist.
Okay.
And that's what's confusing. It was confusing for me at first, too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, oh, do I have to plan hour sessions? You can't take a kid out of class for an hour to work on whatever's going on. But it's a solution-focused therapy, brief therapy, where you have a goal, or you work on a skill. You work on coping skills. And that's why it's so important in the elementary school, because our kids are developing their self-regulation skills, their coping skills. And it's a need.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful to have this position here and, you know, let kids realize their full potential when they can focus on how to calm down, how to solve problems, how to study, how to make a plan.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I personally have seen that being a substitute here and working with you. Like, I think you do amazing with the kids.
Thanks.
So I think you do great. So
it's a good gig.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the questions.
Okay.
So how can teachers use you or a school counselor as a resource?
So I'm definitely a resource for, like what I mentioned before, helping with executive brain functions, helping with self-regulation. If you have a child who gets frustrated really easily, they might not have those skills to calm down, and it could be a blow up in the classroom. So that's where I can come in and meet with them 6 to 8 times and teach them ways to calm down and coach them in the classroom and give them those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they need additional assistance, I could be that liaison with the family, the teacher, and the child and get them additional resources. So I like to see myself as a bridge between the parents, the teacher, the child, and perhaps additional resources in the community if they need that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that analogy of bridge. That's awesome.
I'm that bridge.
Yeah.
One of my biggest things is connection, especially during this year with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We've really seen how important it is to have connection with our families because kids disappeared last year when stuff got sent home. And we really needed that bond, that relationship to make sure they were okay, they were doing their schoolwork, they were in touch with their teacher. So my role with the teacher is to help enhance that relationship and build that connection.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And then also, you know, if it's just study skills, I help with friendship issues. There's a lot of times, I mean, kids go through stuff, adverse childhood experiences. You know, there might be a death in the family. There might be incarcerated parents. I'm a resource for the teachers because teachers have so much on their plate. They're a counselor too. I mean, we all have so many hats that we wear at the school, but I definitely help them navigate and help individual students with their individual needs.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. No, thank you. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Cause yeah, I've seen a lot of students that need individual needs and I've seen you come into the classrooms individually and like, I know I'm not a student, but like it even helps me. I feel like, you know, so like and learning, you know, those small, simple practices.
It is. And there's a lot of simple things you can do. And one of the things that I really bring attention to is that behavior is communication. There's no such thing as a kid causing a problem. A kid is having a problem. It will come out in behavior, but they're trying to communicate something they can't say. So my job as the counselor is to help figure out what that underlying thing is that's causing that behavior. I just took a class. And I'm mumbling a lot.
This is all great. This is all good. It's good to hear it from especially an expert. So this is awesome.
I just took a class on neurodiversity. And that's how, you know, to really focus on strength-based thinking differences. Like really paying attention to people's strengths, kids' strengths. And one of the analogies was if you have a head of lettuce in soil and the lettuce is wilting or dying, you're not going to start yelling at the lettuce or blaming the lettuce that it's their fault. You're going to figure out what's wrong in their environment and change what's going on around them. It could be the soil. It could be they need more water or sunlight. So that's like our kids.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
That's really stuck with cool. Me.
That is, I can't take credit for that. I can't remember who said it, but it's just, I want a picture of a head of lettuce on my wall now to remember that, you know, our students, they don't have the vocabulary to express what they need sometimes, so it comes out in behavior. So my job is to help the teacher figure out what can they change in their environment that's going to help enhance this kid's ability or let the child see what they're capable of.
Awesome. No, thank you. I love the lettuce analogy. That's going to stick in my brain forever, I'm sure.
Me too.
That's awesome. So how can counselors, and we kind of already covered this, I think, a little bit, but how can counselors and teachers work together to help the students that need the extra support in their classrooms?
You know, we're their trusted adults.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a little bit of adverse childhood experiences, when a child goes through a traumatic event to them, they need a trusted adult that they can rely on. So the teacher and the counselor can both be that trusted person at school they can go to. And sometimes it just takes one trusted adult to totally change someone's mindset or change how someone performs because they have someone who believes in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as the teacher and the counselor work together, that's a really important partnership to support the student.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some ways that teachers can create an environment of mindfulness?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm like unzipping my coat now. This is my kind of conversation. So mindfulness is really when you're able to ground yourself and be in the moment. So ultimately, the teacher wants the student to be in the moment of whatever they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying before, our kids come from different environments. So we could have a kid who is coming to school, full belly, breakfast, was told I love you, positive affirmations, they're ready to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another student who might have gotten yelled at all the way to school, didn't have breakfast, or even got to school by themselves because nobody was home. There's all different ways our kids start their day. So mm-hmm. mindfulness can really play a big part in the classroom because it helps them center themselves, kind of regroup, reset, and focus on what is coming up in the classroom. One of my favorite mindfulness activities to do in the classroom is called grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you take a moment and you listen for five things you hear, four things you see, three things you smell, two things you touch, and one thing you taste. So you're redirecting your brain and just really being in the moment.
Yes.
Taking a deep breath and then starting your day. That takes about, less than a minute.
Yeah.
But it's just those kind of simple routines that could really help get the students ready to learn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So just integrating a lot of mindful moments.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've come upon here in our community is some people have a different mindset of what mindfulness is.
Yes.
Which can be frustrating to me because it's not... I had a parent once say, I don't want you doing any mindfulness with my child because we don't believe in that at our home. So
oh.
they took it in a different viewpoint.
I never took it as that kind of viewpoint mm-hmm. because from my experience with mindfulness is that I always thought it was just like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But after taking this class, it's actually just like being present. It's not getting rid of your thoughts. It's just focusing your thoughts on what's happening now.
Exactly. So it's being present in the moment.
Yeah.
So there is an education piece that needs to be told to parents if you use this in the classroom. One of my biggest things as the counselor is I am non-judgmental. So mm-hmm. if someone says that to me, okay, I'm going to respect that. It's not my place to judge someone's beliefs.
Yeah.
I need to respect people's values, worldviews, and beliefs. But it is my job to educate.
Yes.
So I take that kind of comment and use it as an educational piece. And, mindfulness is like exactly what you said,
mm-hmm.
being in the moment, being present, and ready to learn.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, that's so great. So a question for you,
okay.
How do you, because you've been a classroom teacher and you're mm-hmm. also a school counselor,
mm-hmm.
and so how do you prepare each week to be there for the children?
Because
mm-hmm. I feel like not only do students need mindfulness, but like we as teachers and counselors need mindfulness as well.
We do.
I need to practice it.
We do. I hold a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I take my ethical obligations very seriously. When somebody tells me something, it's confidential.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I do with my other counselor colleagues in the district is we have time for consultation because we can talk about things in a confidential setting with each other and we understand our jobs. So sometimes we need to get stuff out that we hear.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hold it in, but we need to make sure we do it in a way that respects the rights of the student or the rights of the people that are talking to us. Still, even in our consultation sessions, we never say names. We just sometimes have to talk, and that helps a lot. It helps to have colleagues understand things that you have to keep
mm-hmm.
and things that you know. It's tricky because it's hard to go home sometimes and leave it at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't all the time. There's times mm-hmm. There's times, I'm not going to lie, all the time. there's a little Johnny you're worried about all the time. That's a tough question for me. I promote self-care and I need to get better at it sometimes. But, I love to exercise. I go for walks. I'm lucky because I live 15 miles out of town. So my decompression time is driving home with no radio on.
Okay.
So you, in this work, you have to find a way to be mindful to survive it and not get burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And I preach self-care to everyone. And, well, right here on my wall, no one on the podcast can see.
Yeah.
But I have a going home checklist.
Okay.
And I actually sent this to staff in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And it's a mindfulness checklist. It says, take a moment to think about the day and how it went. Acknowledge things that were difficult and let it go. Recall three things that you're proud of. Did you take breaks today? You have to check on a colleague. Choose an action that signals the end of your day. Mine is switching off my salt lamp. Hey. I don't know. It's goofy, but it works.
No, that works.
Switch your attention to home. How will you rest and recharge? And then talk to someone. So that's kind of mindfulness list that I do.
I think even the check on a colleague one, I think is, that's huge.
It's so huge. Because
I think we forget that. I think we forget that a lot, to go check on someone and be like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And but what I love about that list, before the check on colleague, like you check on yourself first before you go and help take care of someone else.
Yeah.
So
in this position, there's a lot of awkward conversations, uncomfortable conversations I need to have sometimes. And, you know, that acknowledge the difficult is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And then I have to let it go.
How do you let it go?
I know you
acknowledge it, but then, like, once you acknowledge it, it's like,
I always say,
how do you know it's gone, I guess?
You know, and sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes it sits with me. One of the things that I say to kids is name it to tame it. You know, if it made me feel uncomfortable, I have to acknowledge that, sit with it, and then it eventually goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Okay.
That's tough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we kind of already covered, like, what are some ways that you de-stress or, like, incorporate mindfulness. You talked about, you know, going through your checklist and that nice drive that you have back to your home, no radio and stuff.
I also do a muscle relaxation technique.
Oh, okay.
So before I go to sleep at night, that's when you lay in bed and your mind is going 5,000 miles a minute, and mine... You know me, Jamie.
Yes,
I don't stop. I move. I'm a mover.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I have a job where I talk and listen. But it's muscle relaxation. So I start with my toes, and I squeeze every muscle in my body for 10 seconds going up with a deep breath in between. And that's kind of just being present, feeling if I have any tension in my body, where it's at, and letting it go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And my weighted blanket works too.
Hey, I feel like whatever works, works.
Right?
Like, if it works for you, then that's what works for you. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely use some of the tools that I share with families for myself.
No.
And they work.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great. Well, Gianna, thank you so much for meeting with me and for answering all these questions. Yeah, thank you.
No,
this was super helpful for me, and I think it'll be helpful for other educators and school counselors out there as well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And if you need anything, you know where to find me.
Yes, I do. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Wasn't that amazing? I simply love Gianna and her enthusiasm, and I am so grateful that I have seen her teach empathy and how to process feelings to the students in their classrooms. There were lots of things I love that Gianna said, but I think my favorite one of all was this. You have to find a way to be mindful to survive and not get burnout. I think it is so true for teachers and for students to know that because if we get burnout, we aren't able to function properly in our day-to-day lives. Gianna also gave a lot of good analogies and helpful tips, and I too want to share what I've seen with mindfulness practices and what has helped me personally. So, because I'm a substitute teacher, I've been blessed to have substituted in two classrooms where I saw mindfulness be practiced and incorporated into the classrooms. And it was so interesting to see how all the children participated and that some of the children resonated with the mindfulness practice. And it was also really cool to see how that day was better for those children. In the second grade classroom that I substituted for, I noticed the teacher took some time between lessons to go on Go Noodle and found a mindfulness meditation practice for her children and for herself to take a deep breath and relax from what they finished learning about to going on to the next big project. In the fourth grade classroom that I substituted for, the teacher had me and a paraprofessional share a mindfulness practice that she found to share with her students to be a part of their daily morning routine. We do this every morning that I subbed in, and I think it is a great way to incorporate a mindfulness practice. There are many ways to incorporate mindfulness into your classroom. You can have mindfulness Mondays where you do a practice every Monday, have it be a part of your daily morning routine, or when it's the routine for when it's time for your children to go home. Or if you feel like you or your students are on the verge of being burned out, bring out a mindfulness practice at that moment. Don't wait to finish a lesson, because any time is a good time to take a pause. You can also ask your school counselor to help you teach your students some strategies. I also suggest taking your students outside for a break if needed. Have them get inside in nature and breathe the fresh air. Or, as mentioned before, use Go Noodle or research some mindfulness meditations for children on your computer on the internet. Another resource that Gianna gave me was a curriculum book called The Mind Up Curriculum, where it concentrates on brain-focused strategies for learning and living. It has different warm-ups and lesson plans that you can bring into your classroom to have focused classrooms, mindful learning, and help children be more resilient. If this will be your first time having mindfulness be a part of your classroom, I highly recommend introducing it when your children are calm. That way they are much more focused and more likely to be successful at having mindfulness be a part of their lives. Now let's talk about you as teachers and how you can practice mindfulness for yourself. Did you know that our minds wander about 47% of the time of our day? That is almost half of our day. Imagine what could happen if your mind didn't wander and stayed focused on what was happening at the present moment. I'm pretty sure we would be focused on a lot of things that need to get done at that time. In an article called Recognize the Power of Your Attention, it talks about that when our minds are wandering, we tend to be less happy at what we are doing at that present moment. I know as teachers we have a billion things to cover. We have lesson planning, worrying about every individual child's needs, not forgetting any information during our lessons, tests, grades, and the list goes on and on. It's no wonder that teachers can get burned out. But having mindfulness be a part of our lives can bring in that happiness and extinguish those burnouts. A few examples to help you start practicing mindfulness is 1, writing in a gratitude journal every day. For a few moments, think about how the day went for you and what you were grateful for and write those down. Or listen to some mindfulness meditations that you can find on YouTube or an app on your phone. Another way is making a list of things that you can control and things you can't control. And when a stress trigger happens, take a few moments to breathe and ponder if that trigger is something that you need to focus on at that moment or can be dealt with later. For me personally, what I do to create mindfulness for me, I try and do a mindfulness meditation in the mornings to start my day off right. Also, when substituting, if I have a 10-minute break from the students, I take advantage of that break and take some deep breaths and ponder what is happening with my mind and body at the moment. Both have been super helpful for me to stay focused when I have those moments to myself to pause. I really hope this is a helpful resource for you to use. I just want to take another moment and have you remember that when you incorporate mindfulness into the classroom, you may struggle at first. And when that happens, remember this, practice makes perfect. So I encourage you to keep practicing and keep trying new things. Maybe one practice will be better for you and one may not. And don't forget this, children learn from you. They notice when you get frustrated, angry, disappointed, or on the moment of burning out. If you can notice when that happens and can change the way you handle stress or overburdening yourself, your students can too. Have faith and confidence in yourself. Once you do that, your children will too, and the reward of having connection and common in your classroom will be worth it. Thank you for tuning in and listening about how you can incorporate mindfulness into your life and into the life of your classroom. I hope that this was beneficial for you and encouraged you to bring mindfulness into your world. I'm Jamie Comer, and again, thank you for listening. Peace out.